Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com. Hi, Nora.
Hi, good morning. I've been thinking about the time when our Lord Jesus went into the temple and he got very angry at the vendors in the temple. Mm-hmm. And he reacted in a way that is not seen in any other part of the Gospels. Like he, you know, threw the tables and he was with violence. I wanted to understand that a bit more if you could help me.
Sure. Why don't I quote the passage and that way we can get a sense of it. So this is in Matthew's Gospel. It also appears in Mark's Gospel too, but let's look at Matthew chapter 21. And Jesus entered the temple of God and drove out all those who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." Here we see kind of the bare bones of it. I believe it's in Mark's Gospel where we see that he knotted cords and used them as a whip, and he drove them from the temple, overturned the money-changing tables. So what we see here is a human emotion on the part of Jesus, who, of course, is God. He's a divine person, but he has a perfect human nature as well. And in his humanity, he's expressing God's justice or God's wrath for those who do something that is contrary to his will. And in this case, they were crassly profiting from selling and, you know, buying and selling these things. And it was an offense. And so Jesus, in his righteous indignation, he demonstrated this disapproval in the form of kicking them out. So you're right that we don't see another instance of this where Jesus is angry. We see Jesus crying, for example, when he gets the word that his friend Lazarus has died. We see Jesus frightened in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, "Father, if it's possible that this cup pass from me, let it pass, but not my will, but thine be done." We see Jesus joyful. We see many instances of Jesus, you know, with the normal kind of human emotions and human reactions to things. And here we see him angry, and he was angry for a just cause. So, I mean, I'm sure there's much more that one could say about that, but is that what you're wondering about, or what angle of this is troubling you?
That helps me. That really helps me understand so the human emotions that he experienced. And so that remains with him now?
That being what, his emotions?
Yes.
Yes, you could say so. Let's look at it this way. St. Thomas Aquinas, when he talks about what we think of as emotions, often he would refer to them as passions. Now, a passion is where you are acted upon by some external thing. In this case, it was the sight of the money changers, you know, with their grubby business, making money hand over fist, and they were not paying proper respect to the house of God in the temple. Now, Jesus doesn't have emotions in the way we think of them in this life, because those in heaven, they're perfected. And of course, Jesus being the perfect man himself, he was always perfect from the very beginning. He has everything that is proper to a human nature. So in his glorified body, he has all those things that are proper to a human body, but of course in its glorified state. In his soul, in his will, which are all parts of his human nature, Jesus enjoys the perfection of all of those things that are proper to humanity, proper to your will, proper to your intellect. But we have to keep in mind that in heaven, of course, he's glorified and perfect in a human sense. So let's just stop here for a second. When Jesus was born, being divine and human, 100% God, 100% human, he's a divine person who took to himself a human nature. His human nature was not yet perfected insofar as there were things he didn't know in his humanity. Now, he knew everything from the get-go as God, But in his human mind, he had to learn things. He had to learn how to walk, for example. He had to learn how to dress himself. He had to learn what St. Joseph, his foster father, taught him about carpentry. He had to learn how to speak and all the words, and he had to learn how to read. Mm-hmm. So all of those things were gradual and were told, like after the finding in the temple, that he returned with his parents to Nazareth, and there he grew in grace. I'm not looking at it, but I think it's grace and wisdom or something along those lines. That's referring to his humanity. So by the time Jesus has resurrected and gone to the Father, there's no more of that. In other words, Jesus is not learning new things in heaven. Jesus is not adding something more to his humanity in heaven. It's absolutely perfected. So the fullest extent of whatever is possible for a human being to experience, Jesus has that. So when we see him in the Gospels, we recognize that these emotions that Jesus was experiencing, all of which were virtuous and none of which were contrary to his perfection, it is startling to us to see his reaction in the temple, because the rest of the time, we don't see that. We see maybe something more mild or more less, you know, volatile. And I don't mean volatile in a chaotic sense, but I mean a clear expression of anger is not something that we see. But we shouldn't be taken aback by it. You shouldn't see that and say, well, gosh, what's wrong? I mean, this is just Jesus being, you know, in his humanity, being righteously indignant by what was happening there. It's a fascinating topic, isn't it? When you consider the incarnation, mm-hmm. God and man together in one person.
Yes. Yes, it sure is. I think it must be all with a plan for us to be contemplating on this. I mean, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Really helps.
You're most welcome, Nora. Thank you. I love talking about and thinking about these issues too.